Hey, it's Formal Friday. Welcome to Morning Invest, your morning business show. Hope you're doing well. Hey, coming up on today's show, mask confusion. The CDC just changing its guidelines, but no one knows what the heck it means. It's all over the place. It's wackiness. So we'll kind of go into what states are doing what mayors are doing what, and how even if, you know, you're wearing a mask and you've got vaccinated, you're still getting the virus. So what the heck gives? We'll go into all of that. Businesses reopening. Elon Musk tweeting overnight about Dogecoin, and it took off. Could it be heading towards 69? Could it be heading towards a dollar? Prices are up this morning. We'll show you his tweet, what that means for the future of Tesla and Bitcoin and Dogecoin. And it is altcoin season, folks. Get ready to make a lot of money. And you know, this weekend, as I promised you, I'm going to be spending quite a bit of time putting together sort of step by steps on how to get involved in trading, how to learn the patterns, how to understand charts and all of those things. So that's what I'm going to be spending my weekend on. Wall Street bounces back. Overall, stocks are back after inflation fears kind of went away, but NASDAQ is on its way to the worst week since April, pretty much. And we're going to look at Biden's new tax plan. And by the way, this is a great story. Are we about to get rid of the credit score? Is the credit score about to go the way of the dodo bird? We'll tell you about what major changes could be coming from the Biden administration on the credit score. Could that help all of us say goodbye to that dinosaur? Morning Invest starts right now. All right, let's talk about the news, shall we? Let's check the markets on this Friday. You know, it's kind of a crazy, it's been a crazy night. If you want to look at, I mean, we'll talk about the crypto markets, stock market bounce back, the futures market kind of recovered a little bit right now. Not too strong, but the stock market came back and, you know, they're looking at NASDAQ closing down probably for the worst week since April. Futures up though, came back though after everyone was kind of worried about inflation. We wrote about in the newsletter this morning. It's like, we're fine. Like, I guess all that inflation talk, that was just 3 days of worry. Let's go back to having a booming Wall Street. We're fine here. Everyone else be damned. But let's look at the crypto markets this morning and see what's going on. Coin market cap. Let's see who's sitting there after we get to Elon Musk's tweet overnight. Bitcoin down 50,000. So staying steady around that 50,000, up a little bit this morning, but still over 7 day percentage down 12%. Ethereum could be cresting back up to around 4,000. We're seeing Ethereum bouncing back, which is nice. Dogecoin though is the real story of the morning. Look at this, Doge up huge, and the reason is because of this. Elon Musk last night tweeting, working with Doge developers to improve system transaction efficiency, potentially promising. To which everyone said, whoa, okay, so we were wondering what was going to happen here. He's kind of maybe turning his back on Bitcoin over the past few days, and tweets sent Bitcoin plummeting. They're not going to accept it as Tesla payment anymore. Where is he going to go? Where is he going to put his allegiances? It appears that Doge is the place he's going. And of course, a lot of people laughing about this because who is actually working on Doge? Is anyone actually developing anything for Doge? I mean, that's one of the big criticisms. So what, Morning Brew writes, wait, there are Doge developers?
There's a guy sitting in his basement eating barbecue potato chips and tuna fish sandwiches. Like, man, I didn't think this was really going to work.
Yeah. Oh, crap. I got to start developing something.
Elon Musk.
Jordan Belfort, who is the... I got to do something. This was just a little hot side project. I was just making Doge. I didn't know what I was doing. Here's Jordan Belfort, who is the Wolf of Wall Street. You know, Leonardo DiCaprio played him in the movie, the Scorsese movie. He tweeted, what? I don't know if he knows that he spelled what wrong. Matt Wallace, who is, of course, huge Dogecoin champion, says, Dogecoin is the future cryptocurrency of Earth. You know, the point is, though, the joke is there are no Dogecoin developers. So, like, all right. Nevertheless, I have made quite a bit of money on Doge, as I've talked about here on the show over the past couple of weeks. So I've gotten in, wrote it, gotten out, reinvested those profits, gotten in, gotten out, etc. And it's exactly what I did this morning again. So as Doge at this hour is going back up to, you know, is he going to hit 69? That's the goal. But it is looking pretty strong, up 28%. Another coin that's up pretty strong this morning is ADA, is Cardano. I also jumped into that again this morning in my portfolio. And also XRP popping nicely this morning. So we are waiting on this trial, the Ripple Labs SEC trial. They're going to resume next week or the 20, I think it's the 21st. Yeah, 21st, they're going to be back in court. So we'll get some news on the XRP SEC thing. And look, I got to say, everyone just waiting, because if that thing goes the way, you know, it favors XRP and Ripple Labs, boom, it's going to skyrocket. So the thing is, a lot of people right now just trying to make some gains, short-term gains, but the upside is huge. Of course, the downside is also very bad, because if it goes the way of the SEC, then maybe that XRP that you're holding on to will be worth nothing. So it's a pretty big gamble at this hour. Let's look at gold as well. Let's take a look at gold up as well. Again, so gold bulls and silver bulls are also bullions. They're also up, and they're putting some money into a... I mean, you can see this, right? So, yeah, we can see the stock market bouncing back. You can see inflation concerns maybe waning a little bit on Wall Street, but geez, you can see money going into gold, going into silver, and certainly going into other stores of value like crypto, and Ethereum is also popping back nicely. So we'll keep our eyes on Ethereum. Any questions you have, you can drop them in the chat. We'll be kind of going through these different trades throughout the show. By the way, I hope you are in my Telegram group. We started a Telegram channel so that when I'm watching different charts, different trades are appealing to me or that I'm making, I post them there in the Telegram channel. I think we had about 1,000 new people join our Telegram channel yesterday. And if you did, you would have seen a couple of trades that I made. You probably would have made a lot of money off of them because I posted right when there was about to break out and I posted when I was selling. So if you want to join our Telegram group, just download Telegram. Go right to that is how you can download it, morninginvest.com/Telegram, and join us there.
John Fletcher,
alrighty,
$5 super chat, said there are Doge developers. You can follow them on Twitter, literally named Dogecoin developers.
I guess that's the joke, right? They are woefully behind. Thank you, John, for that. They are woefully behind other coins, and I think that's... Look, you know, if a lot of these places start accepting Doge as, you know, as currency, and that becomes a standard, again, it's what makes something a standard? The people make something a standard, don't they? I mean, why is WhatsApp more popular than other messaging platforms? It's because people adopted it and it exploded, right? And then Facebook bought it because they saw, hey, we're never going to have Facebook Messenger ever catch up with this. So, you know what? We just gotta buy it.
Look at how many people adopted look at how many people adopted toilet paper as a solution to a pandemic, to a upper respiratory.
What, you could have gone and bought bidets. You didn't have to buy toilet paper.
They did buy bidets.
Yeah, everyone's stocking up on toilet paper.
Bidets sold out too. You couldn't get them on Amazon. I would have thought Kleenex. You know, yeah, like respiratory Kleenex. That's where I would have gone, but we're not sure what end it's going to come out of.
You're not alone, I guess. No one knows what's going on. So let's talk about this news of the morning. We'll get to a lot of the other stories making headlines today, but I want to talk about the CDC. They have now come out with their new guidance. This is going to have broad implications on businesses and theme parks and states all across the country. Fully vaccinated people can stop wearing face masks and end physical distancing in most settings, the CDC says. Okay, so let me just play what the CDC said, and then the CDC said. That's what she said. Let's play what the CDC said, and then we'll get into why there's so much confusion on this. So here's what the CDC had to say about this guidance.
I want to provide you an update regarding CDC's guidance for fully vaccinated people. Over the course of the pandemic, we are continuously gathering data and evidence to inform our guidance and decision-making. We now have numerous reports in the literature that demonstrate the safety and real-world effectiveness of the authorized vaccines. On this slide, there are three recently published studies, one from Israel published in the Journal of the American Medical Association, or JAMA, on the top, and two from the United States, both published in CDC's Morbidity and Mortality Weekly Report, which all show that COVID-19 vaccines work. In Israel, there was a demonstrated 97% vaccine effectiveness against symptomatic and 86% effectiveness against asymptomatic infection in over 5,000 healthcare workers.
Roger M. in our chat says, I'm getting my vaccine card laminated on a lanyard. Yeah, that's the... You know. Derek Ead says, yes, I'm fully vaccinated here. How many of you guys got a vaccine? Let me know in the chat.
Well, look at Katie's question. I just popped up.
Yeah, what about after a year? Great question, Katie. Like, what about after a year when you need another shot? Do you start wearing a mask again? And do masks, I mean, and do they work? I mean, I guess that's the bigger question. What, I mean, and actually, do the vaccines work? Is also another question, which we'll get to in a second.
In the United States, vaccines were 90% effective against any infection in nearly 4,000 healthcare workers and 94% effective against hospitalizations from COVID-19 in an evaluation across 24 hospitals in 14 states. Additionally, we are accumulating data that our authorized vaccines are effective against the variants that are circulating in this country. On this slide, you can see a study published just last week that demonstrates how effective the Pfizer vaccine is against the common circulating variants in the United States, B.1.1.7, as well as other variants like B.1.351. Additional studies confirm that the Moderna and Johnson & Johnson vaccines are also effective against circulating variants. That's for fully vaccinated people. Anyone who is fully vaccinated can participate in indoor and outdoor activities, large or small, without wearing a mask or physical distancing. If you are fully vaccinated, you can start doing the things that you had stopped doing because of the pandemic. We have all longed for this moment when we can get back to some sense of normalcy. Based on the continuing downward trajectory of cases, the scientific data on the performance of our vaccines, and our understanding of how the virus spreads, that moment has come for those who are fully vaccinated.
Yvonne McCourt says, I got the second shot of the Moderna in my arm. Killed like a mofo the next day. Today is not bad, she says. Brooke Jones says, I'm debating on whether or not to get my second shot. I felt obligated by my family to get the first one and had a panic attack as a result of it. Derek, my arm is still sore, but not as first dose.
I know somebody who, and still 3 months later, still does not have their sense of taste.
After the vaccine?
After the vaccine.
Jeez.
I couldn't imagine. Man. I couldn't imagine actually, living without taste.
No. I wonder if I'd lose a lot of weight, though, if I lost my taste buds.
Maybe, because you could just eat anything. I guess I can eat healthy now.
Right. Or I just would lose my appetite. I mean, maybe that would be better. Like when I got pneumonia. Like the only upside of me getting pneumonia a number of years ago was I lost like 20 pounds. Edward Carley says, I never had any side effects at all. Nicole Spann says, I just got the J&J shot. Yvonne McCourt says, yeah, that would be sad. I'd love food. I don't remember what I did before the virus. What is normal? Sherry Kraft says, good question. Like what is... So anyway, there's a lot of confusion about this. So the CDC says fully vaccinated people no longer need to wear masks indoors. No need to social distance. You can go back to living your life. How are they going to enforce that? How are we going to know? Are you going to carry a card with you from now on? Is that what's going to happen? We know this morning that the New York Yankees have a massive COVID outbreak on the team, and every one of them was vaccinated. 8 players got the virus after being vaxxed. And now, as Wired Magazine points out, the Yankees' COVID outbreak may be bad news for ditching masks altogether. Start to see this. 8 people who work for the New York Yankees baseball team, including a player, have tested positive for COVID, and all of them were vaccinated a little more than a month ago. So what does this mean? Ron Paul, I don't know if you had a chance to see, I sat down with former presidential candidate Ron Paul, who thinks what this government has done and this sort of masking of our little children in schools. And he had a lot to say on this topic. I want to play it. I don't know if you got a chance to see the full interview. Here's a clip of it. But if you didn't get a chance, please, we'll put a little card up here. We'll link it up in the show notes. Go watch the interview with Ron Paul. It was, we had a really good talk, I think, and we covered a lot of ground. We talked crypto. We talked gold. We talked about the future of the economy. He already sees an economic collapse happening, that we're already in it. So here's what Ron Paul had to say on the vaccine issue.
Coronavirus, I don't happen to believe it was anything compared to what they made it out to believe. And yet look at what they've done to us by making, scaring everybody to death and doing, butchering our kids. It makes me sick to watch these kids in grade school, 8, 9, 10 years old, all wearing masks, which I think are very, very dangerous to do. So that, we don't want that type of government. That's why I want people to say, well, how do you solve these problems, and try to explain the best I can how that can work out. But I,
so not a fan of little kids wearing masks in school, but I think we don't know. And I think the CDC guidance is interesting, right? So it's going to help in states or areas, for instance, like Disney. Disney this morning, I would have thought their stock would have been up. It's not. It's down, actually, because of concerns over their streaming revenue. But hey, now you can go to Disney parks, no masks. The CEO says, look, can you imagine what it would have been like to go to Disney in 80, you know, 100 degree heat in the Florida humidity? Like, I just wouldn't go. Like, why put yourself through that? Going to Disney World in a mask? Miserable. Like, it's miserable enough, like wearing just a t-shirt.
Yeah, I lived in Tallahassee, Florida, and it literally sometimes, like, I did not go outside sometimes in the summer. It was so humid. And if I would have had to wear a mask, I think you'd pass out. You couldn't breathe.
Yeah. No, we had this story out of the UK this morning that Natalie and I were talking about pregnant women, or when you're going in there to give birth, like, they forced, like, all of these women to wear a mask while they're on the table, like, giving birth. Can you imagine? Like, I mean, you know, you and I can't imagine giving birth, but how difficult it is, number one, to give birth, but then also to have your breathing while you're trying to have a baby.
Wow.
People, and all, I mean,
I am gonna fast, like, people are saying Ron Paul's an idiot. The thing is, you guys gotta understand, that man is not an idiot. He's very intelligent. You don't have to agree with his politics at all, but I guarantee you that man is no idiot. And somebody just said they hope he gets COVID, and man,
yeah, that's not anything you want to wish on somebody.
No,
he's a doctor, for crying out loud. But anyway, you know, that's how he sees what Ron Paul has stood for as a libertarian. He sees as government invasion of our of our personal lives, spying on us, endless wars. I mean, the list goes on and on. Watch the interview that we did. We covered a lot of different ground where he sees government intrusion. He's a big believer. He says, I think absolutely crypto should be available and access to everyone as long as it's not used to hurt people. Anyway, check out that full interview, and I'd love to hear your thoughts on it. So, but yeah, fully vaccinated people now can stop wearing face masks and end physical distancing. But again, there's all of this confusion around what's, so, like, for instance, in Minnesota, right? The governor there says we're going to end the mask mandate. But then Minneapolis and other cities are saying it's still enforce the mask mandate. Then in Florida, you know, Governor DeSantis, but then you have grocery stores like Kroger's and others saying you're going to still have to bring a mask. Then you have the city of, like, Nashville, for instance. Nashville was not going to have a mask, have a mask mandate. Then they decided not to. And then, so every area has been different. So I feel like you're going to have a mask in your pocket for, like, the next few years, I guess. I don't know, because you don't know where you're going to need it. Like, if I go to Kroger, I need it. But my state says I don't need it. If I go to McDonald's, do I need it? If I go to Disney, I'm okay. If I go over here, I don't need it. I don't know. So much confusion around it. And yeah. Then you see this massive now outbreak in India. Upwards of 400,000 cases a day of this Indian variant. I just don't think we know. And, you know, we were lied to. Of course, we were lied to by our government about what was unfolding, where this thing came from. We now know the reporting. If you've been paying attention over the past 48 hours, you now know the cat is out of the bag on where this thing came from. And it came right out of that lab in Wuhan. And we now know, based on a number of reports on that, even CNN is now reporting it. You were considered a conspiracy theorist if you talked about that.
Yeah, no, I was talking about it from the beginning, and I had to stop talking about it because I had friends who were just like, you know, like they'd just be like, whatever, dude, like, it's a conspiracy theory. I'm like, it's not. Like, there's, if you follow, I think it's so sad that people, you plant a flag, and it doesn't matter what data comes out or what information is available, it becomes so politicized that people plant a flag and they don't care about the facts. They literally do not care about facts. Stats don't matter. Nothing matters. Science goes out the window because it's how you feel. And we can't be like that.
Right. Like, oh, we heard it came from a bat. Well, now we know that that was a total fabrication. You can go, I'm not going to spend time on it here today, but you know, just, you know, how much our government lies to us on a regular basis. Dr. Fauci, et cetera, lying to us about where this thing came from, right out of a lab in Wuhan. And, you know, even CNN now reporting on it, finally admitting to it.
Well, and Fauci's been lying all along.
But everyone knew this.
You know, when he lied about saying that we didn't need to wear masks, and then, you know, like saying, went down this whole thing saying masks don't do anything. People are, you know, thinking that it's going to save them or whatever. And he said it's not going to do anything. And then he came out and said the reason he said that was because they didn't want there to be short supply for the medical people that needed them. But if they actually did work, then he could have said make your own masks. They could have said something else, but not that masks don't work. So it's like he said they didn't work, then he said they worked. And, you know, he's been kind of going back and forth on everything all along.
Right. So, you know, and this is where we are. CDC says if you're vaccinated, you're fully vaccinated, great. You don't need to do any of this stuff. You don't even need to wear masks. You're good to go. You have the New York Yankees fully vaccinated, getting the virus again. They're not wearing masks. Or are they wearing masks? I mean, even from these photos, like the whole team, they're still wearing masks.
Well, like Tony Breeden is telling me, David, you don't care about the facts that the vaccine works. You still won't get one. But look at the data. People are getting it and they're still getting the virus. They're still having to wear, like, prove to me that it's 100% effective. There's no data backing that up if people are still getting the virus after getting vaccinated.
You know, it's weird to see all these ad campaigns too. I mean, like all these mainstream media channels, you know, doing all these ad campaigns now. Like they have all their news anchors and everybody. You know, I just don't understand. I just don't get it. I really don't. And there's been so much misinformation about this, and they don't call attention to it. They don't apologize for it. They just sweep it under the rug, and they just move on. They just move on to other topics. Is there any bigger topic right now than this? I mean, the reason we went through this massive economic shutdown, had businesses go out of business, is because you were telling us what to do. I mean, you were telling us how we had to live. And is this the new way? Like, this is how we're going to be told. You're going to have you can't go to, you're going to have to flash a badge. You're going to have to carry this thing with you from now on. And as Katie brought up in the chat a few minutes ago, like, well, how long is this thing good for? You know, what am I going to do? You know, we shut down the Johnson & Johnson vaccine because of a few blood clots. And yet the CDC allows birth control pills, which way more people get blood clots as a result of birth control pills. So we're okay with that. But like the four people that got blood clots because of the Johnson, I just think there's so much hypocrisy around this issue. And, you know, no matter what you say, you're going to have someone who's going to be angry with you. You can't have a conversation about it because, as you point out, people plant their flags and they just say, "We can't. No, this is the way it is. You're a conspiracy theorist."
Yep. No, I'm a conspiracy
theorist.
I'm
just looking at all the facts
because I feel different and I look and read different data. So I'll take that.
And I'm just looking at everything.
Yeah.
I'm just, you know, I something always smelled weird to me about this idea that it came from a bat. Okay. It came from a bat in the same town, right at the lab where they're actually working on this. They were dealing with this virus, the SARS-2 virus, and they were actually working on it in China. And then one of the workers, like, it's not uncommon. We now know that for people to get infected while they're working on virus strains, and they're dealing with it in a lab environment. It happens all the time, apparently. But we weren't told that. And Chinese government lied to us, of course.
Well, then the guy from Caltech, the guy that does infectious disease or whatever, he looked at it under a microscope and knew, and this was right at the very beginning, he knew at the beginning this was not, did not come from nature. It had been manipulated.
Manufactured,
exactly.
That there was no way that it came from nature. And of course, they couldn't talk about it. I mean, YouTube channels were being shut down as a result of it. And then once CNN broadcasts about it, and Dr. Sanjay Gupta actually confirms it, oh, now it's mainstream. Now we can talk about it. Thank you. So any like independent news channel like this, well, we couldn't talk about it. If we mentioned it, we talked about it, even though we knew. I spoke to somebody that worked at the CDC that told me. Said there's no way that this was from an animal. But I couldn't talk about it. If I did, I would have been shut down. Now we can. It's amazing, right? Like mainstream media, big corporate tech oligarchs run the show. Want to keep everyone ignorant. Don't give them the facts or sweep it under the rug. It's all, and, you know, we live in this era of censorship now.
And those are the channels that YouTube and all these other platforms promote. You know, they're like, they're the ones they see as credible.
Right. Yeah, when you like log in and you just want news and you click on news, they're going to surface like these big corporate news channels first in the list. Like, oh, CNN, you know, Fox, all these. We're going to push those at the top. How often do they lie to you? Every day they lie to you with their corporate agenda and telling you what they want you to hear.
And you also have to look at the potential trillions of dollars of profit that these companies are making. You know, why do you think they didn't want to open up the vaccine? If the vaccine really helped people and it was really solving this problem and going to stop the virus, then why would they be so closed to open it up to give the patent to the world to make it? Because it's all about the money. All you have to do is follow the money in these situations.
Hmm? Yeah, open up the patents. No, it's all about the money. It's always about the money. And by the way, the government funneling billions of dollars to these companies at the same time. So don't we have a right then, if we're funneling, if you as taxpayers are paying for these patents, like, don't you have a right? Shouldn't this be public? You know, it's like if you don't, like, taxpayers were funding the development of the iPhone by Apple, you should all get a free iPhone, you know, like, or it should be, you know, Apple shouldn't have, it should be the phone of the world. It should be the world's phone, you know? No, instead they get to make all this money on it. I want to talk about some of these companies that are now about to hire tens of thousands of people, and they're about to raise wages. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about infrastructure. We're going to talk about what's going to happen. The IRS is coming for certain people around cryptocurrency. We're going to talk about that. Government coming for you. We'll talk about all of that more in a second. But I want to tell you about a new sponsor on the show. You guys know this is pretty incredible. Do you know that the average American has 97 points that they can add to their credit score? That's right. And most people have no idea how to get those additional 97 points on their credit score. ScoreMaster is the new credit science that super boosts your credit score. So this is really, really cool. And I was super excited to bring these guys to you because you can quickly add points to your credit score by using ScoreMaster. The average ScoreMaster user raises their credit score 61 points in 20 days or less. That's 61 points. So say your credit score was in the high 500s to mid 600s when you bought the new car. If you'd gone to Credit Score Master first and raised your credit score just before that, an average of 61 points, you could have saved $9,000 on your car loan. Yeah, because it's all based on your credit score. And if you'd gone to ScoreMaster before applying for your home loan and raised your score just 61 points, you would have saved almost $100,000 over the course of the life of your loan just by having your credit score increased. Pretty amazing. And if you own a business, by the way, you know how essential great credit is, from getting a loan to funding projects to financing equipment. So go to ScoreMaster first and see how super boosting your business credit score can save you a fortune. Really awesome. ScoreMaster puts you in control of your finances, not the banks. Enroll in minutes and see how many plus points ScoreMaster can add to your credit score. Visit scoremaster.com/invest. You got to go to that URL, scoremaster.com/invest. Again, ScoreMaster, cdc.gov/invest. Hey, good news. A bunch of big companies may be finally paying attention to government and like what government is trying to do with all of these stimulus plans. Yeah, exciting. More and more companies this morning, we're getting word, are actually about to hire. And they're realizing, you know what, if we continue to pay all these crappy wages to people, that they're not going to want to work for us. These working conditions are terrible. These wages are low. Who wants to do that? Well, now Amazon is looking to hire 75,000 people. And they're going to give them starting at $17 an hour with a $1,000 sign-on bonus. Shocking. Yeah, they're on a hiring spree right now. They've been seeking huge number of employees. They're trying to add about 400,000 workers. 400,000 workers starting at $17 an hour. Hey, that's a start. You just posted triple record profits, Amazon. Your boss, Jeff Bezos, just bought a brand new yacht with its own support yacht. $17 an hour. Okay. That's better than what the federal government wants to do. That's better than what President Biden wants to do at $15 an hour by the year 2025. So that's not the only company. McDonald's also is raising hourly wages for 36,000 employees across the United States. Anybody watching right now work at McDonald's? That was my first job, worked at McDonald's. They're going to raise their hourly wages by an average of 10% for more than 36,000 employees. They said they're going to add shift managers who would be paid at least $15 an hour. So the entry-level crew range will be between $11 and $17 an hour. So finally, some of these bigger companies now are paying attention to what's happening. Public perception is not favorable when you pay crappy wages. But also maybe they're looking at the broader macroeconomic issues and they're seeing what these other companies do, like Chipotle or Starbucks, that offer, you know, they offer benefits and a good wage and a better working environment. And it's all about employee retention. They don't want those people leaving. McDonald's has long been on the, hey, you know what, you want to leave? Fine. We'll just crank another person in there. Just put another person in there. That's how it was. When I worked at McDonald's, there was constant turnover because they knew that even though it would spend money for the training and get people up to speed, it didn't matter. They were just a number. And it was cheaper just to keep cranking through people than it was to have employee retention. But imagine the idea that you could actually pay someone a higher wage, give them bonuses, encourage them to move up the ladder like Chipotle is now doing, trying to encourage people that by about 3.5 years, you would have an opportunity to make around $100,000 as a general manager.
Well, and think about all the money
mobility.
Yeah, and think about all the money that these companies waste when they don't pay good wages. They come in, it's a crappy environment for people, so they quit. So they on this constant rehire cycle, and think about what the cost is of a new employee every time. You know, even if you're providing an apron or a shirt, and the time that you have two people working together because somebody has to be trained. Like, if you paid people well, you gave them benefits and stuff, people would never leave. They'd have no reason to leave your company.
Right. I just can't imagine. I mean, to me... But see, that's the thing that it costs so much money. I mean, it costs so much money, employee turnover. I like to think, even like in the rental business, you know, I'm a real estate investor. It's like in the real estate business, your biggest costs, other than expenses, you know, with having a water heater go up or whatever, but is tenant turnover. And so employee turnover, tenant turnover, it's the most expensive thing. But the way that McDonald's has long looked at this is, you know what? It's easier for us to just eat that cost than to increase our overall salaries for people all across America. It's better for us to just deal with, it's like loss leaders. You know how certain stores, like, I don't know, Best Buy, they expect that they're going to have about 4% theft every year, you know, and they just expect that. That's in their numbers, that they know they're going to have 4% theft. And they just build that in as part of their capital losses. And that's what they do.
Well, and think about it.
A number.
You know the way that they think. They're like, we've got so many applications. You know, look at all these applications. If you don't like this environment, you don't like the way you're getting paid, you don't like your job, fine, leave. We got somebody who'll take it. Like, that's their attitude. They don't care about the people that are there because they've got so many people that need a job that they can just, you know, let them go. And they don't mitigate that risk. If they could look at that number, I'll bet you that number far exceeds the cost of what it would be to just increase wages and make it a better environment in the long term.
Right. Yeah. I mean, wouldn't it make sense? Like, now, I think what now they're seeing is, well, hey, these people don't want to come to a crappy job. These people, you know, I think what these unemployment benefits have done, if anything, has shown a light on these, you know, we showed you yesterday, the Tyson Chicken plant, you know, where 9,000 people getting COVID standing side by side because not good employee protections in place. Accounting for 1/3 of all of the COVID cases in that state, which is amazing. And so, you know, it makes more sense for these people to say, I'm not working in that kind of a condition. And now it's forcing the hands of these companies. What I hope, though, you know, still happens, of course, is that these companies are, these employees are able to unionize. Yep. Still. Because this is what happens. They throw you a little carrot, right? Well, we're going to see you spoke up. I know you were threatening to unionize. We gave you 50, we're going to go to $17 an hour plus a $1,000 bonus. Now shut up. Don't unionize. You can still keep peeing in bottles here at Amazon instead of going to the bathroom so you can make quota. They still have to have the power to unionize. And I hope that they do. So that story has caught my eye. Here's another big story. So the IRS, folks, is coming for you. If you're a cryptocurrency investor and you've made profits from cryptocurrency, we knew this was coming. I warned you about this. But the IRS, you know, is getting bigger and is getting stronger, and they're looking for revenue and they're looking for profits to be able to take and taxes, and they're coming after cryptocurrency investors who aren't reporting the cryptocurrency and paying their taxes properly. Here's front page today of this, the Wall Street Journal. The IRS is coming for crypto investors who haven't paid their taxes. On the hunt for tax cheats, Uncle Sam is winning court battles to force cryptocurrency exchanges to reveal their customers. Your big unreported profits on Bitcoin, Ether or Dogecoin, could translate into big problems with the IRS. Now, we warned you about this a few weeks ago here on the show because... you know, there are a lot of people who are making a ton of money in cryptocurrency, and they're, you know, their flashiness, they're showing like, oh, we bought this Ferrari, this Lamborghini, and all of this stuff. We spoke to Michael Saylor here on the show. He said, it's fine. Like, if you want to, you know, buy a Ferrari, buy a Lamborghini or whatever, but you have to do it correctly. You have to do it the way that smart, wealthy people do, you know, and you use debt to do it. You don't use this cryptocurrency. You're not taking this cryptocurrency and buying this and then, you know, getting these profits and then, that's a taxable event as a result of it. You want to make sure that you're getting, you want to go through the tax process properly. Otherwise, you're going to get hit by Uncle Sam. Here's what Tom Wheelwright had to say about it. He's one of the smartest tax accountants in the world and a friend of ours, and he is actually our accountant. He had this to say about what you need to watch out for if you are a crypto investor.
What is IRS saying about virtual currency?
Well, they say a couple of things that I think is really important. First of all, that any time you use or trade your virtual currency, that's a taxable transaction. So, I mean, let's give an example. Let's say that Bitcoin became a, you know, normal trade. You go buy groceries. When you bought groceries with Bitcoin, that would be taxable because it would be considered a trade for Bitcoin for US dollars. So every time you spend Bitcoin, every time you sell Bitcoin, that's all of that is taxable. And here's the thing. So on your tax return now, there is a box you have to check to say, did you trade Bitcoin? Well, that means, did you do anything other than just buy it? Okay, if you bought it, you don't have to mark that box, but any other use of it, you have to mark that box. If you don't mark that box, Robert, it's a felony. This is not a civil penalty. Most things on a tax return are just civil penalties, right? They're just, okay, I pay the penalty, get my wrist slapped and I go on my way. Not with this one. This is a felony. They will come after you if you don't mark that. And in fact, you should have marked it.
Trust.
Cryptocurrencies exploding. The International Internal Revenue Service pursuit of Americans who aren't paying taxes on them. With tax day approaching, it's a good time to clean up your act, says the Wall Street Journal. two new IRS efforts to find crypto tax cheats stand out. In April, a federal judge in Boston approved an IRS summons to the payments company known as Circle and its affiliates, including Poloniex. Is Circle like a Stripe? Is that what that is?
I've never heard of it.
They want their customer records turned over to the agency. And in early May, a federal judge in San Francisco approved another IRS summons for records to the crypto exchange known as Kraken. Both cases, the turnover applies to customers who had more than $20,000 in transactions in any year from 2016 to 2020.
Can't have these little people out here making money, man. Can't have them, you know, they got to go after them. Can't go after the big corporations that are doing tax cheats every, like paying $700 in taxes with a billion in profits. Got to go after these little players.
What about all of the tax cheats, all of the billionaires that are offshoring money and hiding things? You know, that's what Elizabeth Warren has been talking about. Like, what if we funded the IRS so that they could actually go after these big fish, where they believe they could raise upwards of $800 to $1 trillion, $800 billion up to $1 trillion from all of these big whales who are tax cheats? But no.
They're going to go after John Nobody that made $20,000. It's probably the only thing they have in savings.
The Kraken and Circle summonses are the IRS's way of getting it information it can't otherwise get. Because, you know, all this stuff is secretive, right? It's anonymous. So who are your customers? What do the transaction records look like? I'm sure this is going to happen with Coinbase sooner or later. But not already. It's going to happen sooner or later. Especially now that Coinbase is public. It's a public company. And because you're getting so much more major cryptocurrencies now flowing through Coinbase. We learned that Coinbase is going to be adding Dogecoin to its marketplace, which is huge. Another, I guess, validation for Dogecoin, which is at 53 cents right now and rising today, up 25%. In just a short amount of time. So once again, Doge on the rise after Elon Musk tweeted about it just a short time ago, saying that working with Doge developers to improve system transaction efficiency, potentially promising. So that's where Elon Musk threw his weight behind. Everyone's wondering, well, now he's kind of saying bad things about Bitcoin. Is he going into something else in Doge? But we got to be careful about this, folks. This is, if you're not reporting these things to the IRS, they're going to come after you. Again, it's a taxable event. And as Michael Saylor says, if you buy Bitcoin, why would you ever sell it? It represents property. It represents a store of value. And as I asked Michael Saylor, if you haven't watched that full interview, we have the full interview, link it up here. You can watch the full interview. He says, you know, why would you ever sell Bitcoin? It's a store of value and it's the best possible asset. So why would you pay for a car with Bitcoin? Which doesn't make any sense to me either. Like, why would you buy a Tesla with Bitcoin? Like, the economics of it doesn't make sense. So you're going to buy a depreciating asset as a car with an appreciating asset like Bitcoin? Doesn't make any sense. That's like taking a house that has value as an appreciation against, you know, as a hedge against inflation, and you're going to go and buy dinners with it. Like, it doesn't make sense. But the IRS, you know, make no mistake about it, they are emboldened. A spokesman for Circle said the company expects to work with the IRS in responding to the summons. We are concerned about governmental intrusion into our customers' privacy and hope to work with the IRS in a way that protects our clients' interests. And this isn't the first time, they say. Another summons, from Coinbase. They got information from 13,000 customers. The agency then sent letters to those people. So it was like, hey, we got your information. Now the IRS is sending a letter out to you because we got our information from Coinbase. Hey, you might want to pay your taxes because we know who you are.
Well, the thing is, I mean, at least, at the very least, the IRS and everything makes it very easy to understand how to file those taxes. You know what I mean? Like, it's such a simple process to figure out, like, what your profits were and exactly how to file. So thank you for them for that. At least.
Yeah, very easy. Thank you for that you got to check box X15, and then you got to carry the one over to box 259. And if you only if you're a dependent. Now, if you're not a dependent or you're withholding, then you got to go to page 45.
Right. Because like I took my profits from Bitcoin, but I put it into Doge and lost all of it back. So do I still pay taxes on the profit I made before I lost it again? Like, how does all that? It's such a confusing system.
Capital gains. You know, what are your capital gains for the year? You know, Coinbase customers have entered the, a lot of them said, have they have entered the IRS's voluntary disclosure program for taxpayers with criminal liability. This program usually lets participants out of prosecution, but imposes large penalties. And these audits are going to continue. The IRS also cited, without names, several taxpayers it has been examining whose accounts more than $5 million crypto transactions. I wonder how many of these are like the 30-year-olds, you know, who have like YouTube channels that are like, they're like, you know, that every day they do a Dogecoin. They're like, Dogecoin to the moon. And they're making all kinds of profits and selling them like crazy. You know. Sorry, you better. That's why, you know, we try with our accountant. I mean, we have a great accounting team to cross every T, dot every I. And by the way, Tom is our tax accountant. If you want a great tax team, you can go to our website at Morris Invest. We've got a lower your taxes tab. So just go to morrisinvest.com and we work with the team from Wealthability. So if you are an investor, best tax team, just go to here, click on lower taxes and fill that form out and book a call with those guys. They're fantastic. They have a program set up just for our listeners of our show. So again, my good friend, Tom Wheelwright, who you just saw there in the video, is the head cheese over at Wealthability and brilliant, brilliant tax accountant. So make sure you're safe with your taxes. Yeah, we got more to get to here in a moment. I want to tell you about our friends over at Manscaped, though. You guys know about Manscaped, don't you? If you don't, what's wrong with you? You know, it's time to do some spring cleaning. And they've got their new lawnmower launch. The new lawnmower, it's their 4.0 launch. Do you have the lawnmower? I know David's a big fan of
Yes, Manscaped. I have the lawnmower. I do.
You have the lawnmower?
Mm-hmm.
The compact design, advanced engineering. This is a... I love their sense of humor. This is a pubic service announcement. And the news that you've all been waiting for. The Manscaped engineering team has confirmed that they have successfully created the Lawnmower 4. The trimmer, which is now available for purchase in the United States and Canada. It was just released moments ago. And we're going to get our hands on it and share some of the news about this. Perfect for Father's Day, by the way. You know, why don't you get it for the man in your life? Or buy it for yourself. It's waterproof. It's fantastic. Join over 2 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with an exclusive offer. You're going to get 20% off and free worldwide shipping if you use the code INVEST at manscaped.com. Manscaped.com. Their advanced ceramic blade and skin-safe technology is so good that it almost seems as if Manscaped worked with Elon Musk's engineers to ensure that your manhood stays as safe as possible. To the moon. I mean, together we look at this. Together we save balls, and they do actually. They donate money to testicular. I never said that on television before. Testicular Cancer Society. And so they say, look, we got to be more open and talk about male culture. Don't be so quiet about it. What's cool, when you order, you get this free boxers and travel bag and everything. So order their performance package. Do great stuff. Love these guys. The Lawnmower 4.0 is fantastic. Check them out today. Get 20% off and free shipping with code INVEST. Go to manscaped.com and get that. Use that code INVEST to get 20% off plus free shipping. All right, we're going to get to your pet photos here in a moment, but we've got some more news to get to on this Friday. Anybody in the chat have anything interesting to say today?
Not a single thing. No, I'm just kidding. We do have some super chats.
No one said anything in the chat today.
Nobody has said anything interesting in the chat today. I'm only kidding. So we've got Ethan Motaz, no credit score. Landlord sent two cleaning bills to collections, one which they changed locks early, lost belongings, can't rent now.
Jeez. America.
Yep, no fault of your own, but yet, oh man, I hate hearing that stuff. John Fletcher, Super Chat, thank you. Amy Perkins, did you get a chance to look at CleanSpark, CLSK? Because BC Mining using 95% renewable energy has signed contracts already.
What is the code again? Are the
CLSK?
Let me see, CleanSpark. Trading. So this was the one we were looking at yesterday, CleanSpark. Up 5% on some news. I haven't spent time diving into this one yet, but interesting. Let's see what some announces. CleanSpark acquires an additional S19 Pro Bitcoin mining rig to further enhance energy initiative. Huh. Yeah, you look around these other companies now, they're going to be involved in this clean energy initiative as it relates to Bitcoin. And, you know, certainly on the heels of what Elon Musk was tweeting about yesterday, you're going to see that more and more. So this could be some strong upside here. Thank you for sharing that one. I will dive in a little bit. I'm going to add that to my watch list.
That's really cool of him, too, because the thing is, like, that's one person who potentially, you know, can save the environment a little bit more because of his pull. You know, so the people that do Dogecoin or Bitcoin, like, oh, holy cow, we're going to crash if we don't fix this. So now they'll do what they got to do to make it better so that they can have market share again. So that's good. That right there is what true capitalism is. You know, you guys can say you hate capitalism, but that's what true capitalism is. It's using that stuff to make people or companies do better things so that, you know, they stay relevant.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's great. I think, you know, hey, if that brought awareness to this issue, even if it was hyperbolic and not necessarily accurate, you know, but hey, if it pushes this idea of like, let's make sure that all of these cryptocurrencies, if we really stand for this as a people's currency, if this truly is our future, as a store of wealth and as a way that we're going to transact business and monetary policy in the future, let's make it as clean as possible. Why not, right? I mean, this was one of the things that Bill Maher was talking about. And by the way, Bill Maher, breaking news, just got his show canceled this week because of he tested positive for COVID. So Bill Maher cancels this week's show. Last week, of course, he made a big to-do about about Bitcoin and calling it terrible for the environment.
Wait, was he not?
FUD. It was not, you know.
He wasn't vaccinated, Bill Maher?
Imagine that. Maybe he was. Let's see. But this is a question, you know. He is fully vaccinated. Huh. Here you go. Fully vaccinated Bill Maher gets COVID.
Well.
Anyway, we have this other story I want to get to today, which is on credit score. Now, if you were watching earlier in the show, we told you about Scoremaster. But right now, we covered this in the newsletter today. I think this is an amazing story. Banks are looking for a way around using credit scores by coming up with their own way to evaluate consumers using checking and savings account history. According to the Wall Street Journal, J.P. Morgan Chase, Wells Fargo banks, and others are going to be looking at your sort of bank history as a way of evaluating your worthiness for lending. So they're not going to be looking at these random credit scores anymore. At least they're moving towards that direction. You know, and this is going to help people who have traditionally lacked opportunities to borrow because of a harmed credit score. How many people watching right now have a harmed credit score? Just curious. It's aimed at individuals who don't have credit scores but who are financially responsible. The banks would consider applicants' account balances over time and their overdraft histories, the people said. So I don't know if that's a good or a bad thing. I mean, how are you going to be able to tell, you know, like, look, in COVID, that's the thing too. Like, so many people have their credit scores affected by COVID. So many people have had to deal with overdraft fees as a result of COVID as well. So
I will say that exactly sure how I do think that that's better, you know, tracking than what they have now. I mean, what ticks me off is, like, if I'm ever going to apply for a home or a car, they send my bank, my loan request into all these different banks. And then my credit gets dinged for every time somebody checks my score. I always think that's the stupidest thing. Like, why should I get dinged when, when, like, I can't be like, no, only send it to one bank. You know, don't try to get me the best interest rate because I don't want you to ding my credit that bad. But it's like, it's stupid, like, some of the things that they ding you for on your credit.
Right. Oh, you're applying for a loan, so that's going to ding your credit? Like, what? I'm just applying for a loan. Like, what? Why is that hurting me? Like, okay. The new pilot program, according to the journal, is designed to be far-reaching and more organized. About 10 banks agreed to the exchange to exchange data. For example, JP Morgan might approve a credit card application from a person who has a deposit account at Wells Fargo but doesn't have a credit score. This whole thing grew out of this Project Reach, the Roundtable for Economic Access and Change. It was launched by it was launched after the protest of killing of George Floyd. Basically, they want to transform and try to increase credit access to disadvantaged communities. So I'm all for getting rid of, I mean, you know, most countries do not operate this way with a credit score. It's like, that's your badge. You know, that's, you carry that with you. If your credit sucks, you suck, you know, it's sad. And so, especially for people who are unbanked, I mean, this is again, why you see so many people moving towards cryptocurrency, right? The unbanked, the people that don't have access to these things. So, you know, there's still so many people who are unbanked. I don't know how, if you don't have a bank account, how this is going to work.
Well, you know, it is.
But at least, you know, if you've...
You're right, the way that people look at people with bad credit. I mean, it was literally, when I worked for a car dealership, I hated this. But, like, when people with bad credit would come in, that they were known as roaches. That was what they called them. Like, oh, we got another roach. I'm just like, I'll take them. Like, oh. I just made, like, but that's the thing. Like, these, it's like the, what is it Japan that's doing the social currency now or whatever, where it's like, if your credit is, like, if you don't pay your bills or something, you get this social score and it, like, affects your status, your social status or something?
Yeah, I think
was it China?
Right. Is it South Korea or is it?
I can't remember.
I don't think it's, yeah, I know what you're talking about. I don't remember which country though.
But it's kind of the same thing here. If that's like crazy. There's people that are ashamed to say their credit score because by no fault of their own, in some cases they've dealt with things. But you go in and they apply for something. Yeah, no, since you've got bad credit, you're going to pay 30% interest. But since you got really good credit, you're going to pay 2%. I never got that either. Like, why wouldn't you help people that need it the most who can't afford that 30% interest? You know what I mean? It's like the risk management thing right there is like completely out of whack, and these companies are making bank on that.
Yeah. So it's going to be interesting to see, like, Experian and TransUnion and those companies, they could be basically put on watch as a result of it. And as the piece says, you know, if a bank can compile a person's financial activity, this is not based on past debt. They can offer them products such as mortgages, car loans, and credit cards. It's not been possible without a credit score, but it makes sense. A person should not be punished for not having, you know, having used debt in their lives. Like we're encouraging people to use debt. Like, we're a debt country. We're a debt society. So from childhood, now even like Apple a few weeks ago during their spring announcement, changed the way that their Apple Card worked so that it could allow even children in the family to start establishing credit. Like, we're so obsessed with credit in the United States. And that's, you know, most other countries are not set up that way. United States is, though. Got to make sure Wall Street's taken care of.
So what Katie's saying on the screen there, in China, they do that with your credit scores. They put your name in a black book and they send it out to everyone to shame you for your credit.
Wow.
And basically, that's what our credit reports are. You know, these companies get to run our credit report and then they judge us based on that. Well, nope, you can't buy the car you want. You got to get this piece of crap at 40% interest.
Yeah. And like we talked about with that Scoremaster just a few minutes ago, like, they, you know, you're able to help you by 60, 61 points. you're going to be paying a lot more over the life of that loan if you don't have better credit. I mean, that's the thing. As the piece points out, this is a major step away from the big three credit reporting agencies. The president, President Biden, has also hinted that he would like to establish a federal financial database that sidesteps these agencies as well. So, financial database. I mean, folks, we're looking pretty soon. There's not going to be anything that is not tracked by the federal government. I mean, think about a federal financial database and the Fed moving towards a digital cryptocurrency. So they know exactly who's getting money, how you're spending it, right in your Fed wallet, you know, your digital Fed wallet, controlled by the federal government. Why don't they just put some cameras in our houses next?
They
already do that.
Watch Snowden.
Yeah, I was going to say. What? Yeah, exactly. Yeah, look at Edward Snowden, exactly. By the way, we're going to have a piece on Edward Snowden and what he thinks about Bitcoin. We're going to have that. We'll be releasing that this weekend. So be sure you're a subscriber to the channel if you're not already a subscriber, and turn on that little bell notification. We have such a great community here. And I just want to say, you know, we passed 500,000 subscribers this week, and we're almost at 510,000 subscribers. Thank you for all of your kind comments. You know, I did the big interview last night with Ron Paul. So thank you to all of you who watched that interview, and I love your feedback. Even if you don't agree with him, that's fine. You know, he's used to people not agreeing with him. He's made a career out of people not agreeing with him.
What is that? So, first they laugh at you, then they hate you, then they love you, or something like that? Or what is it? What's that saying?
Oh, yeah. Does anyone in the chat, can you put that up on the screen? What is it? First they hate you. You know, but it's funny, a lot of young people, I mean, they invite him to campus. As he was talking about it, he said the best speech he ever gave, the best reception he ever got from a speech, was when he spoke at Berkeley campus. And he said all of these kids were like, whoa, what? We're spending what on war? We're blowing up. We have bases in how many countries? And I said, you know, there's a lot of things that progressives probably have in common with libertarians. We talk about it all the time, right? Outside of this two-party corrupt political system, there's a lot we have in common, right? We want to end foreign wars. We want to make sure that the weakest among us are taken care of, not being hurt by these big lobbyists and big, you know, Wall Street banks and all of these big Wall Street companies that are destroying people. So I think there's a lot that we share in common on this. I want to get to some of your pet photos today.
And really quick,
we can check some charts. Go ahead.
I was going to say really quick, when you mentioned Snowden, if you guys haven't seen the Snowden movie with Joseph Gordon-Levitt, watch that movie. That movie was they actually worked with Snowden and Glenn Greenwald to make that movie. So it's like very accurate, and they like kept logs of everything that was said during their interview with Snowden, and that's all pretty much in there. It's such a good movie, and will show you the, you know, what he went through to get you that information. It's really good. You saw that, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it was excellent. Yeah, I mean, Snowden is one smart cookie. But anyway, we're going to have a video with Snowden here on the channel this weekend. So be sure to subscribe and watch that. His thoughts on cryptocurrency and government access to it and cyber criminals as it results, you know, in cryptocurrency. Really interesting stuff that Snowden had to say about that. So we'll play that on the show today.
There it is. First they ignore you, then they laugh at you, then they fight you, then you win.
See if that's crypto. You know, talking with Ron Paul about crypto, and he doesn't think he's technologically advanced enough to like wrap his head around like being able to you know access wallets and things like that. But he's like, you know, I want people to be empowered to be able to have, you know, because the government printing money like it's going out of style, like that's not empowering people. You're empowering Wall Street. But being able to have access to currency, being able to buy, you know, the store of value for things that is not tied to some corrupt government. So in that way, he's highly favorable of it. All right, let's take a look at your pet photos today. You can send us some pet photos if you like. You can go to pets@morninginvest.com and send them in. Also, we have a store. I should mention this too. We have our store, Morning Invest store. I keep promising you, but very soon we will end up having our new colors and our new shirts and everything. We're just getting the... How close do you think we are to that part of it?
that part of it. Stuff. I mean, we could do that now. We've got the logo stuff. Yeah, I mean, with the, it's just the color change. I don't know how
this weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'll work on that this weekend with some of the, with our graphics department. Get that lined up. Grover will be happy. okay.
King Alley looks like Hedra H bar went up yesterday. I did not go all in, but it had a bit in it. I got a gut feeling on this, hoping for your take on it.
Yeah. So yesterday I, during the show, we looked at this. Someone mentioned it to me during the show. I don't know if it was you, but we looked at H bar yesterday. Yeah. And I jumped into the charts on it, and you know what? Like right after the show, I bought into it, and yeah, I made some good profits on it. I stopped out though, I think at one point, but it went up nice. So thanks for that. It would also ended up being one of the top performers on CoinMarketCap. So thank you for that. I don't want to say I might have seen it later in the afternoon. I would have actually, because a friend of mine sent me an alert about it. So I would have seen it later in the day, but actually thanks to you pointing it out during the show, I actually was able to get in at an earlier level than when I would have seen it later. So that's my thought on it. Anyway.
Vanilla Latte, I'm scared to get the vaccine. I know a lot of people are. Lori, we are behind you for vaccines here in Canada. Angela Dixon, I live in Baltimore, Maryland. Starting Monday, everything will be open. I think this is too soon to open everything. Clayton, what do you think? I mean, look at Texas. Texas should be a testament to all of us. Completely open, numbers down.
Yeah. I mean, we're going to see. What do they have? There's like a big sporting event supposed to be happening there, like 70,000. Or there was some big event in Texas, I think. I forget what it was or what it is. Anyone can refresh my memory on it. It's going to be a, you know, we'll see from that. I mean, we're worried about right now the Olympics, right? Japan's worried about it. You have some of the top business leaders in Japan, the billionaires that sort of run that place, were like, we don't want them to open the Olympics. They're scared. And also, you know, Japan, though, has to worry because they've got an aging population there. An aging population. I think the median age there is much older in Japan. So it's definitely a different animal. We'll see.
Blue Orchid, blows my mind how USA is just saying pandemic over, no mask, F it, and vax might protect us against one strain. It's not over just because you want it to be. Rosita's Reborn Nursery, I don't trust the vaccine. I won't be getting it. Brenda Vowell, gotcha. I am Lori Baby. The child tax monthly payments that's supposed to start in July is $250 to $300 a month. Is that $250, $300 per child? Because I claimed four kids.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, that's why, you know, this is, I think, again, a transformative stimulus. I mean, this is, again, why I think we need to extend this beyond the 2025 range where it's going to be, you know, and we'll see. They're, you know, right now the debate is unfolding, but hopefully progressives can push Biden to extend this beyond 2025 because it's much, much needed.
Norman Collins, Clayton, I see your ad on Facebook, Morris Invest Everywhere, best thing ever.
Oh, thank you.
Danny Rhodes, super
chat. Have you booked a call with our team? So we're just seeing now Coinbase is going to be adding Dogecoin in the next 6 to 8 weeks. This is now confirmed from Coinbase. So Doge is likely to pop here again. Let's see on this news if it's going to be going up. It's already up. Yeah, it's going up again.
Brian Dickens, I'm a supervisor for McDonald's, and I can say wholeheartedly that we try our best for our people. That there's definitely rotten eggs out there, but our owner is very progressive. Thanks for all you do.
I appreciate that. You know, when I worked for McDonald's, it was the first job I ever had. I also think it was an important job that I had. I met some great people there, really wonderful people. I think the wages are way too low for the amount of work that people are doing on their feet all day. I can say a lot of great things about McDonald's, their cleanliness policies, like the way that they, like, if after you make a certain amount of food or a certain amount of time, like it cannot be stored for very, very long. It's got to be sold, or if it's not, then, you know, it's thrown out basically. But anyway, there was a lot to like about McDonald's, and the guy that I worked for, he owned 3 McDonald's, I think. He was a good guy, you know, good business guy. He would come in and work on the grill with us, and he was there. But I just think wages, you know, and paying people a livable wage to help them rise out of poverty, you know, instead of looking at people as a number on a spreadsheet, look at people as a lifelong employee. You know, hey, we want Janice to work here for 20 years. We're going to give her upward mobility, give her raises, lift her up. Health benefits, whatever, to make sure that she's cared for.
And yeah, quit calling them jobs and start that make giving people careers.
Yeah, exactly. And when you're making trillions of dollars in profits, you know, maybe we, and these CEOs that make $320 million, what if we invested in our people a little bit more? How about that? That got us here.
Grant Wilson and Katie Will Go, Super Chats, thank you. Tony Joslin, where can I read about the truth about its CDC?
About the Wuhan thing? The Wuhan lab?
Yeah. Probably won't see that on the CDC now.
You just
search it on YouTube.
You could look at the MIT, the best place to do actually is right here. Show you. It's the I would look at this. This is a good place. MIT Technology Review. MIT Technology Review. Top researchers are now calling for a real investigation into the origin of COVID-19 from this lab, the Wuhan lab. The Wuhan Institute of Virology is right where this thing started. And it had nothing to do with a bat. We now know. And it did come out of this lab.
You know what's funny? My friend Ben Swan, he broke this like right at the beginning. All the connections to Fauci and everything. And Facebook completely kicked him off the platform. And he can't even post on Facebook anymore. He has his own website and was blocked on YouTube and everything for spreading misinformation. And now it's coming out. So what happens now? There's no retroactive course of action for him to get anything back. Because they're not, and it was all fact checked and proven wrong by Washington Post people who didn't even cite their sources. So he had sources, they had no sources, yet he was completely banned off of Facebook. And he was saying exactly what they're saying now on the news a year ago.
I think the most important and compelling piece of this is that we now know that there is no trace of how a virus first jumped to humans from a bat or from anywhere. We have no trace of it. And we now know that they were working on it in that lab, the SARS-2 virus, and that it's highly common for lab technicians to be infected by the very thing that they're working on. I didn't know that. Did you?
And this was actually the first one that
lasts 48 hours.
Yeah, and this is actually the first one that they, if it wasn't a natural occurrence, that they've not been able to trace it. Like they've always been able to trace it back.
Yeah. So we have no idea. And then you can clearly see at the molecular level that this thing has been manipulated. It was lab born from SARS.
I think the guy called it a cleavage or something. It has some kind of cleavage, which makes it cling to human cells. That was added.
Yeah. The specific thing. Yeah, exactly. The cleavage. What actually... They added this ability for it to cleave on to human cells. Like, okay. That was added in the lab. This has been reported now multiple places, but, you know, you won't see this in the mainstream media. Although, you know, CNN finally covered it. Sanjay Gupta actually finally covered it because they couldn't ignore it anymore. And now he's confirming it. That's just one source. I mean, and now that they've done it, now we can start talking about it because CNN talked about it. But heck, if an independent station like this, independent journalism like us, talked about it, we'd have your account shut down. You can't talk about it.
Brenda Vowell's super chat from yesterday is losing on Staya and Zekin and big time. Would you just sell at a loss?
Oh, Staya. Yeah, I mean, there was some good profits. Like, if you didn't, I don't know if you scraped profits out when that was popped. Like, I definitely made some profits on those and then stopped out. I think I sold out of both of them personally. I can't give you advice on how, like, when to sell. Like, that's financial advice. So I personally, but just read the news, you know, see what news patterns are coming up for those. Like, read what kind of reports are upcoming. Check when you go to, like, Yahoo Finance, go to the news section of those particular stocks and see what's being announced or upcoming, seeing if you can, like, learn more about what they're planning. Any new acquisitions or things that they're doing that can really move the needle and give you, you know, a better place to exit. Brenda was asking about ZKIN. You know, we had a lot of people who jumped into ZKIN and wrote me, and they made a lot of profits off that, but they set stop losses and then they jumped out. Or, you know, again, with any of these things, you've got to chart them properly, and you want to make sure that you're setting stop losses and protecting your profits as you go through these processes. And again, I would recommend you pick up this book on charting patterns, technical analysis for dummies. Don't be offended by the title, but it is, technical analysis for dummies is, a good starter book to pick up on Amazon, and shows you technical analysis to learn how to chart properly, so you can see these different patterns and to learn where to set stop losses and get out. But that's how a lot of money can be made. Learn it now, because we're in altcoin season and a lot of money is going to be made in this season right now.
I don't know if I want to trust a book by Rockefeller.
Well, I think you should.
Right? Yeah, that's true. Guess it depends on how you look at it. Erica Young, lovely Thai, reported this on YouTube. She watches from China. CNN given her reports in December, maybe before, and they demonetized her, I think.
Wow.
10-4 new member. Jai Rai. Did you know that in the 40s, Ford was making cars out of hemp that was 10 times stronger than steel and lighter than fiberglass our cars are made of today?
Really? I did not know that. I love our resident hemp expert.
Well, this is somebody else. This is Jai Rai. So we have two now, Reed Smith and Jai Rai. Or Jay. Jay or Jai. I went with Jay. Maybe it's Jay Ray. Jayrai.
Well, thank you guys for a great show today. Really appreciate you joining us here. If you're new, go ahead and smash that like button. And if you're not new, please, hopefully I brought you value, and subscribe to the channel. We do this show every day at 9 a.m. Eastern time, Monday through Friday. And then this weekend, we'll have my video on Edward Snowden. And we're also going to have, so we'll have other content this weekend as well. So don't miss out on that. A chameleon. Yeah, that's what Pascal is, a chameleon.
Hi, R2.
That's my ringtone.
It's mine too.
Or my text tone. My text tone. All right, everyone. Hope you have a wonderful, wonderful weekend. Watch the charts. Learn some things. I'm going to be making some content this weekend to help you guys with trading. So I've got a lot of work to do this weekend. Try to sleep at some point. But it's altcoin season, so I want you guys to... Well, Ethereum up over 4,000 already since we've been doing the show and going rising. All right, everyone. Have a great weekend. Get some rest. Spread some love. R2D2 says, have a great weekend.
Yay. Did she notice the shark?